was one man. And that one man realized that in order to take the world, he needed to invite others. And he made a statement called, "Come, let us." Everything that will take the world has to be a movement. God's answer to what takeover is a movement. I want you to stay with me. I want to go from God to John. God was the first man in scripture. John was the last. God, who was one man, asked whoever to come and let us make man in our own image. Let it be a movement. The only way our parents failed was when they came to this territory, they had no movement. And say, but someone becomes a prime minister without a movement. No, he joined a political party. It doesn't matter if you graduated from Cambridge or wherever, you have to come and let us make England according to Conservative Party image. Come, let us make Croydon according to Labour Party image. However brilliant and smart, however rich you are you awake this morning? Oh, I'm aware of what church is. Many people come for different reasons. Whatever reason you've come for this morning, you came to see your friend or to see PT. I'm not talking to you. Don't worry about me. And God this morning asked us for something in a season of revival. He's not looking for many people. So when he started, he said, come, let us make man in our own image and after our own likeness. God formed a party to recreate the earth, because there is a guy who started a movement. And if you can start a movement, you can even fight God if you want. Satan started a movement in the heavens, and because he was able to gather a movement, he cannot fight as an individual, because it makes no sense. Look at our parents fighting life as an individual. They failed. Please stay with me. I want to take you to revival. In a moment, in a minute, because we are at the pool right now, and Spartanation is about to break into a season of revival where you will not care about things around you anymore. You will care about what God is creating. God wanted to create heaven and earth. He found a man, but this man was alone. They said, no, in order for him to subdue the earth and replenish it, it is not good for man to be alone. I'm going to create a movement. So they became two, right? Talk to me now, Spark Nation. When they became two, a family movement has started. In this family movement, they were supposed to keep pushing and advancing, and then they failed. The first revival failed. Now the next generation, which is the second gen revival, started. In the second gen, the spirit of giving, because nothing reveals man like offering. Humanity has not started until offering started. And so two people were created. Why did they give birth to two at once? When God wants to create a nation, it's two people. But there'll be one, but it's two. Then came Abel and Cain. You remember those two guys? The second generation revival has now started. God gave Eve two children at once, Cain and Abel. But the revelation of these two, if they are going to carry out revival, the revelation of them is going to be in the place of offering. Money reveals what is inside man. God in Luke chapter 13, is that correct? He said you cannot serve two masters. It's either you hate one and love one, right? Two. Now this hate one and love other is not to destroy the other. It's whichever one you like or love subdues the other one. So God then said you cannot serve God and mammon, right? So why would you have mammon? Because you serve God. Why would you subdue God? Because you serve mammon. So it is two ways, right? Talk to me now, Spark Nation. So he didn't ask us to eat money so that we don't have it. He asked us so that we can bring him to serve him. Because the original intention of God, what is called revival, is reconnection to God. So now, Satan is on the earth. God created Adam to bring... No. Let me start again. So this is what happens. God needs revival. God is a revivalist. So what did he do? In order for people to be reconciled to him, there must be people. God's ultimate is serve. God's ultimate is worship. You can't be reconciled if there is no people. So he made Adam. Adam is going to be in charge of everything so that he can bring them back to God. God is going to, in court, pretend as if he didn't make anything. Put Adam in charge. Let me see what this man will do, if he will bring them back to me, because revival is reconnection to God. So out of nothing, he made something, and then the same man he put in charge so that they can reconnect to God. The lion will submit to God only. Why is there mammon? So that man can take mammon and bring it back to God for the worship of God. But you know what man did? Man took mammon and started worshiping him. Have you seen people worshiping stone before? Paul told us that the visible things, the things that they could see that was made for them, they began to worship those things. Why? Because they are no longer now reconciled to God. Man was supposed to take everything and bring it back to God. That is worship. So God created Adam. When Adam was made, it was for Adam to subdue all things. Why did he give him all this dominion, sweetheart? Why? So that Adam can have so much power in order to submit power. The same reason why he chose... No, let me not go there. So that he can submit power, the ultimate of man is for God to check. Can you submit problems? Or do you worship problem? The worship of problem is the worship of mammon. Let me tell you why it puts God and mammon on the same pedestal. Because when, as you grow, you understand the power of money. Money is powerful. Money makes people respect you. They don't care about you. They don't respect you. But because there's money, they respect you. Money is powerful. Money changes people's mind about you. Money, people talk bad about you. When you give them money, they talk good about you. Money is so powerful. It's a God on his own. And God is looking for people, because one of the things that killed revival in the Pentecostal church is mammon. Whereas money is supposed to be brought to God, to serve God, and to change. So God says, in other words, the most powerful man is the man who can take the other God who is in competition with me. Oh, you don't understand. No, you still don't understand. If I had time, Crystal, I would have shown you in the scripture. The Bible says, and there came a time that Joseph had taken all the money of the world. He took all the money. The Bible says, and there was a time that both all the nations of the earth had no more money. They submitted it to Joseph. And what did Joseph do with it? He took it to Pharaoh. What will Pharaoh buy with the money? Nothing. It's worship. And they began to beg Joseph. But I haven't gotten to Joseph, because we've just skipped many people. So God made Adam, right? Adam and Cain now. Cain came. And God demanded an offering. And they brought an offering to God. And that offering showed the true character of these two brothers who will take the world. Giving shows people's true character. It shows if they are with God or with mammon. God does not want to give you anything. He wants to give you himself. He said to Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. Revival is having all of God. So what I'm crying for in my generation is that, God, I want all of you so that I can submit mammon to you And God says, you cannot submit mammon to me until you have all of me, because it is a worship of me. Mammon will never let you serve God. Never. Listen to me. Don't be deceived. You can't serve two masters. I need that scripture in NKJV. Are you not surprised that Jesus started that proverb with something? Luke 13, right? 16. It started with someone he calls the crooked servant. He told us the story of the crooked servant. Like Jesus was approving something that was wrong. Jesus said, do you understand the most interesting thing about this parable? He said his master praised him. This was a guy that was being sacked from his work. Quickly read it from Message. I need to go back because have you got time for the word though? Because we need to go through Adam now. We are at Adam. We need to get to Noah. God looking for two men. We need to get to Elijah. We need to get through all these guys so that you understand why God calls for revival. The older generation has no revival. Reverend said it so right. We ask for every other thing but revival. That's not a condemnation message. We're back to Havemouth now. This is just the bigger Havemouth, right? Every month we organize the leaders to pay for service. We're back. It's just double, right? So a revival is about to break out. When it comes to offering, your brother is not your brother. When we all say we want to offer, it reveals your brother to you. Read quickly. I need to quickly go through that scripture. I want to close now.
Jesus said to his disciples, there was once a rich man who had a manager. He got reports that the manager had been taking advantage of his position by running up huge personal expenses. So he called him in and said, what's this I hear about
you? It's that Message Bible, right?
Yes, sir.
Talk to me.
You're fired, and I want a complete audit of your books. The manager said to himself, what am I going to do? I've lost my job as manager. I'm not strong enough for a laboring job, and I'm too proud to beg.
Okay.
I've got a plan. Here's what I'll do then when I'm turned out into the street.
They do.
People will take me into their houses.
You will soon agree with me that we, listen to me, guys, please. The church don't know Jesus. The Jesus they told you is not the real guy. It's a religious figure that a white man managed to sell well to us. It's the guy we talk nice about. Look at what Jesus is saying here. Talk to me, Pastor.
Then he went at it. One after another.
Yeah.
He called in the people who were in debt to his master.
Okay.
He said to the first, how much do you owe my master? He replied, 100 jugs of oil. The manager said, here, take your bill. Sit down here. Quick now. Write 50. To the next he said, and you, what do you owe? He answered, 100 sacks of wheat.
So it was reducing what they owe for his own advantage, right? Oh yeah, skip that quickly.
Now here's the surprise.
Jesus said, now this is the surprise. Now. This is Jesus speaking, not Paul, not Peter, Jesus. He said, here's the surprise.
The master praised the crooked manager. And why?
Why?
Because he knew how to look after himself.
Okay. Now Jesus is going to now give his own summary. What does this parable, Jesus, that you're saying, right? What's your moral? What do you bring out of this? Well, this is Jesus. Someone say Jesus. They're not talking. That's the issue. This is Jesus now. Yeshua. So Jesus, what is your summary? Why did you tell this parable? What's the point? Now let's hear what Jesus. This is not pity. This is not sparknation. Jesus. Someone say Jesus. What is the morals now?
Streetwise people are smarter in this regard than law-abiding citizens.
Wait now. Someone say Jesus is speaking. They are not talking, Lord. Okay, I think I should change what I'm saying, because so say Jesus. Go on, man.
They are on constant alert, looking for angles, surviving by their wits.
They are on constant alert, looking for angles, surviving by what?
By their wits.
Instead of what? Go on, don't worry.
I want you to be smart in the same way.
But
for what is right.
I want you to be smart in the same way, but the purpose for which you are smart is no longer for himself, it's for what is right. Someone said Jesus is the one speaking. So don't go out and say, in that Spark Nation, they say, this is, I just read Bible. I want you to be smart in the same way, but for what is right. So this guy was smart, but for what is wrong, right? Which is God himself. I want you to be smart in the same way, but for what is right,
using every adversity.
Oh my God. Wait, you're not going to hear that scripture. Look at what Jesus said he should do. Using what?
Using every adversity.
To do what?
To stimulate you to creative survival.
No. I need silence, please. I need you to read it like an African now. Thank you for the Oyinbo man's tongue. Because, listen to me, listen. Boris Johnson will go, Conservative Party will remain. Living Spark does not make Spark leave. It just makes you funny. It's a movement already. There is nothing the devil can do about it. What's a movement? How many years is Conservative Party? How long did it take them to grow? Tens of years. Some years ago, some people left Labour Party and formed a group. Maybe they just lost seats. Well, Labour is anti-Semitism. Labour is this, da 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 da. There are still two political parties in every nation. The only top party is going to be the Third Day Church, because it's going to be a movement of family, and there will be no hell that can stop them. I'm not talking about the church that exists today. The one that exists today has already caved in. It's two-party system in every nation. And the top party is going to be the one that came first, which was the church, and the world hijacked it. So what would happen in your generation is that you guys will go Cambridge, Oxford cheaply. It will become easy because you are forming a movement. So what God is saying in a revival generation is, you must never be in a rush, because God is building a work. God is building his church. And you can ask yourself today, how old are you? Why are you in a rush? I see a 20-something-year-old girl depressed all the time. Why is she depressed? She's in a rush. Nobody's have told her to become somebody. Imagine a nobody telling you to become somebody. What does a nobody understand by somebody? They don't understand what somebody looks like. They think marriage is somebody because they are nobody. I'm still going somewhere today. I just want to obey Jesus all my life. You know, people are telling me about people's opinion about me. Are we crazy? I don't get it. So I asked the person, how did you know? So now I know you. You are my link to nobody's. Today I break that tie. You know those links you leave there? God's opinion about you is what matters. And heavens want me to announce to you today, you are a chosen people, a royal generation, revivalists, people who change the world. Let us go. Let's say, why do we go to church? Why do we give this much? There's no individual that ever made it by themselves in life. It's movement, political party. Why do you get to like Oxford and Cambridge and they say things like, join a union? Because you already know on your own. What can you do? How intelligent are you? There are trade unions. What is the church? The church is the union of the Spirit. Dimensions of people that are filled with the Holy Ghost. Are there revivalists in this house? Have you heard the scripture before? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion, the common union of the Spirit. It's a union. I have a union with the Holy Ghost. So I don't have union with nobodies. I have union of the Holy Ghost, the communion of the Spirit. That's what he says, sit down. He then says, if you see, wherever you see the communion of the Spirit, then you see the love of God and the sweet fellowship. The sweet fellowship of the Spirit. Spark Nation, more than ever before, it is time to desire the sweet fellowship of the Holy Ghost. It comes from the communion. So when you wake up in the morning, I know there are 10,000 bills there, but it is the common union. So what did God, okay, I've pieced myself in five places now. Let's rebuild. Finish the scripture now, please.
I want you to be smart in the same way.
I want you to be smart in the same way.
But for what is right.
Uh-huh.
Using every adversity to stimulate you to creative survival.
So, you know now, we can all agree on one thing, guys. Adversity will come. Yes, sir. Good to see you, sir. So he already told you it's coming, but you have to use it. So use adversity. Don't let it use you. You know, adversity uses people. She's no longer praying. Adversity is using her. She's no longer giving. Adversity is using her. She's not abusing all her pastors. Adversity is using her. So say to your neighbor, I use adversity. God wants to recreate you. It gives you adversity. And say, use. Use. Let's say she's a user. Yeah, I use adversity. Using every adversity. Let it stimulate you. Talk to me, Pastor.
To create survival.
Wait. Creation. Creators are men and women of adversity. Every adversity on my way now, I will create. Many of you will create the biggest companies. Shaliata. You create the biggest pharmaceuticals. Are you listening, Genevieve?
Yes, Lord.
If you haven't created, the adversity is not enough. Look at this guy shaking under adversity. God says, I gave you tools for creation. Tools. Adversities are tools for creation. I want all this adversity. So, this is all you do. Sit down. This is all you do. 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 You have a debt of $1 million. Tell all your creditors, give me 6 months. And then ask yourself, what do I do to worth $1 million? I say, give me 6 months. They will all say, oh, no. It's got to be there. I'll come back. Go to creation room and ask yourself, how can I develop to worth $1 million in 6 months? Before match is over, you would have created. And let me tell you what to do. These are the instructions. I have got instruction for you. Gather adversity on a piece of paper. Gather it. I know finance is number one adversity. I know. Gather it now. Every adversity that you can total up is already busted. There are adversities that cannot be totaled. Health adversity, you can't total it. But money one, you can sum it up. I don't care how much it is. God says, go gather it. Aliyata. And then begin to focus on revival. He said, use adversity. Oh God, my time, right? Limitless time, right? That's why we're in Atrium, because it has to be like every month. Talk to me, Pastor, quickly.
To create a survival, to concentrate your attention on the bare essentials.
Oh my God. You have to read again. Actually, I think everybody needs to read with their neighbor. Yeah. Gather adversity, sum adversity up, speak to the adversaries, in quote, and ask for time to create so that you don't have sleepless nights anymore. Oh yeah, Pastor Faith, talk to us. I need to get back to Adam. Talk now. Please.
To concentrate your attention.
No, you've skipped stuff.
Using every adversity to stimulate you to creative survival. To concentrate your attention
on
the bare essentials. So you live. Really live. And not complete.
So you live. And really live. So what? Wait.
And not complacently just get by on good behavior.
No, please, I beg you. Can we please read that one more time? Read it again, please, Pastor. I'm talking to Christians whose mind would have been damaged by religion. This is Jesus speaking, though. Please read it again.
Using every adversity to stimulate you to creative survival, to concentrate your attention on the bare essential.
Your attention has to be on the bare essential. Why?
So you live.
So that you live.
Really live.
Really live.
And not complacently just get by on good behavior.
You know, people complacently get by on good behavior. The taxpayer is lazy. It's not that I just want to be a taxpayer and just do it. He's a lazy man who avoids adversity. Because in adversity, you get creative. And adversity will make you work harder. Adversity will make you think deeper. Adversity will make you connect with people. Adversity will make you negotiate. Adversity will make you say, I can't pay this stuff right now. But getting back on good behavior, Jesus calls it complacency. Look at this pastor. Talking about, I don't get into any trouble, I don't have any debt, I'm just, you're a lazy man. Go and take risk. Giving you one word from me, I'm just reading from Jesus. This is Jesus. So, complacent leaders how did we become like this in this nation? Have you seen black businesses in London? Black businesses in London. But do you see Asian businesses, including the one we are in now? You see black businesses? No, they are in church right now. Giving tithe. When they want to, though. I wonder how Jesus looks at the black race. Just thinking, wow. Wow. Finish this scripture, please.
Jesus went on to make these comments.
This man, Jesus, he won't stop. It's like he's hung on this topic of finance. So he wants to take us to the next stage now. Talk to me.
If you're honest in small things, you'll be honest in big things. If you're a crook in small things, you'll be a crook in big things. If you're not honest in small jobs, who will put you in charge of the store? No worker can serve two bosses.
He was talking about two things all the time. Honest in small, honest in big, honest in these. Two things all the time. Now, it now goes deeper now and say, no one.
No worker can serve two bosses. He'll either hate the first and love the second. Or adore the first and despise the second.
I adore you, Lord. I despise money. That's not disrespect of money. It is putting him in bondage for the one you adore. Do you understand that? That's not, nobody needs money. No. Yeah, you worship God and mammon becomes your slave. Otherwise, you worship mammon and God becomes your slave. That's what Jesus said there. Go and check Christians. They go to church for 1 hour a week, 2 hours, but they're at work for 36 hours a week. And they are the ones who tell you to look after your life. No, they only have one master. And let me tell you something about money. The ones who don't have it are the ones who worship it more, though. Yeah, that's true. Because it doesn't answer them. It says, I don't answer to you, answer to me. Finish this scripture. Let's go back quickly.
Or adore the first and despise the second.
Okay.
You can't serve both God and the bank.
Mammon. That's why I came with message this Bible this morning. He said you can't serve God and the bank. Look at where Jesus is about to get it to now. It gets deeper. Go on.
When the Pharisees, a money-obsessed bunch.
Another translation says, when the Pharisees, people who love money. These guys are the ones watching Jesus and say, oh, you said this. You're eating with sinners. He said they are obsessed. When the Pharisees, every Pharisee you meet, when you see someone talking about Bible correcting you all the time, he's obsessed with money. He's a thief. Obsessed. When you see people who teach you how not to give, they are obsessed with money because what they have, they can't let go of. It's an obsession. Nobody gives their God away. Nobody sows their God. All these fools talking about seed, including their pastors, talking about seed on the internet, is because it is your God. You can't give him. He is your God, including the pastors. Seed. What is seed? What is money? You don't sow your God. That's why you can't sow. Your God tells you, I can buy you a house. Your God tells you, I can make you important in life. My God tells me that other God, I want you to ridicule him. I want you to put him on the ground. I want you to march on it. I want you to control it so that it will not be your God. Because here, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. God past man. Almighty God is your only God. Money cannot tell me about my future. Money cannot tell me if you don't keep me, if you don't take care of me, your future will be wobbly. No way. God is my future. He said, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil. To give you an expected end. So what if I don't have money? So what if I've sold everything? I've just got money. You are not my God. You're not my God. You don't rule over me. Savings is not my God. I save it for rainy days. The Bible says the Lord is the shield over your head in the days of battle. So it's either money is the shield or God is the shield. I, Toby Adegbeka, I choose God. I choose Almighty God this morning. I choose Jehovah Rapha this morning. I choose the King of Kings this morning. I choose God. I know there will be constant pressure. Parents and family, choose money, you need him. No, I choose God. I trust him. I trust him. I trust God. He can take care of my life. 14 years now, we've run into many troubles. We've run into things that we could, but God sorted us out. Because it is God, not money, that sorted us out. It was God that sorted us out. If money broke our relationship in the first place, we shouldn't have any. Either church relationship, soul relationship, whatever. If money broke it, we shouldn't have had any relationship in the first place, because I thought this was a God thing. Money can hinder revival. Money does not promote revival. Money hinders it. Because when people don't have, they think having it makes life better. Finish this scripture. I want to finish this now.
When the Pharisees,
the currency of the spirit, God just told me to tell you, is trust. Trusting the unknown. Trust and sowing into the unknown. Everyone that is able, revival will break out when everyone is able to say, I trust the unknown. I do not know tomorrow, but I trust that God is in it already. Money may not be in it. You know you are happier when you know you have money to spend tomorrow. No. You know you are happier when you know you have money to spend tomorrow. But you know you are more powerful when you know you don't have money to spend tomorrow. So God says, choose between happiness and power. I choose power. Because once has the Lord spoken, twice I've heard his voice, that all power belongs to him, not to money. not to man. If power belongs to God, it is that God that I come to declare today. And God says, are there people shouting, crying out for him? Say with me, I trust you, God. You didn't say it. Say, I trust you, Jehovah. I'm going to get a minstrel one day that is in the spirit. One day I will get one. Soon, when the revival comes. Finish the scripture. Your whole ministry.
When the Pharisees, a money-obsessed bunch.
When the church is money-obsessed. The church is money. Forget all their presentations. They say, I used to tell people in my church, don't get in debt because of this ministry. Because you love money. Because you won't. You love it. How did you do all these things you've done? You love him. And he, what people call being careful, is money telling them how to move. Mammon. I taught you never to fear a man, a woman who does not hear God. Not hear God. They hear money. Money says, you have a project. Money says, you can't do it. Yeah. You ask money, why? Say, because I'm not coming. Yeah, money just say, I won't show up. No, you set your project and you tell money what to do, because when you obey God, the smaller idol, that's not a one-day speech. God has seen the pattern of your obedience, the pattern of your life. That, oh God, finish. I need to get this over with.
Heard him say these things. They rolled their eyes.
When he was saying this, they were looking at him like, oh, bastard. He said, we can't serve God and mammon. And we are serving both. Go on.
Dismissing him as hopelessly out of touch.
Aha. Spark Nation. No, I'm not calling you. I'm just saying what you were. Hopelessly out of touch. Let these people, they give all they have. They give this. They are hopelessly. The Bible says the Pharisees dismissed him as hopelessly out of touch. He doesn't know how finance works. You know, finance tells you, even money tells people when to serve God. So they say and do things like, I have a friend, 14 years now. Money has been telling him, once I come, I will come in billions. And guess what you will do? You will build a mighty church. People will be serving God for you. That's money telling him. He doesn't know that money is a liar. He speaks, but he's lying. Have you heard money speaks? It's a lie he's speaking. The guy's gone to wear big jacket and say money speaks. No, he's lying. They dismissed him as hopelessly out of touch.
So Jesus spoke to them. You are masters at making yourselves look good in front of others. But God knows what's behind the appearance. What society sees and calls monumental, God sees through and calls monstrous.
Monsters.
God's law and the prophets climax.
So wait, please. We'll deal with that on Thursday. So now God has created these two guys. Offering was the first test of humanity. If they will love or kill, the only way God could test that was bring me an offering. We didn't know who Adam was. Adam did not spend enough time. But God wanted to know that in Cain and Abel, he asked them for an offering to test them. We found out Cain. Cain killed his brother Abel. But the blood of Abel speaks. And then we progress to history. God is looking for a man on this realm. He found a man called Noah. What was Noah supposed to do? Engage his family. One man, with God, engage his family in building God's project. God did not provide money for him. God provided vision. God did not give him money. God gave him a project. God gave him a project. He said, build me an ark. The Bible says, by faith, he built an ark on dry ground. He constructed the best ark, the best building on earth without experience. Why is that? Because it was empty. Can I go to the prophetic quickly and come back to Noah? When there was debt in the house, there was no money. And God came through Elijah and said, what have you got? He said, I've got. He said, now go, borrow empty vessels. God said, I cannot fill vessels that are not empty. He said, get me some empty vessels. I need anything that is empty. God looks at a generation, or the nation looks at a generation today and said, they are empty, 14-year-old, 15-year-old, what can they do? God says, bring the vessel in. Yeah. He said, bring the vessel in. If any